Natalie Goldberg is a poet, painter, teacher, and the author of 12 books, including Writing Down the Bones, Freeing the Writer Within, which has sold more than 1.5 million copies and has been translated into 14 languages. Old Friend from Far Away, The Practice of Writing Memoir, and Wild Mind. She has taught seminars for 35 years to people from around the world and lives in New Mexico. Her latest book is The True Secret of Writing. Welcome to our show, Natalie.
Thank you so much. And you're in El Paso, a place I've always wanted to go to.
Well, you're going to have to come down, and we'll take you into Juarez to the Kentucky Club, and we'll have some tecates and show you around the plaza. It's a really interesting place.
That sounds terrific.
So let's talk about, Natalie Goldberg, first of all, I got to say that, you know, when I read Writing Down the Bones, I was in graduate school, and it really had an impact on me. And ever since then, I've been, you know, anything I hear by Natalie Goldberg, I have to read. And I just finished reading your latest book, The True Secret of Writing. And what a title.
It's pretty daring, isn't
it? Yeah. Do you use it with any irony at all?
Yes, there's a little irony in it, of course.
But, you know, it works on many levels because, in essence, you do reveal to writers secrets, and they're true. So they really are true secrets. But also, you're taking the title, it also works on the level of this retreat that you do called True Secrets Retreat in Taos. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, they're silent retreats where we sit, walk, write for a week at a time. And I developed it over the last 12 years. I gave you in writing practice, in Writing Down the Bones, how to do writing practice, but there was a whole world behind it. And that was the life of practice, connecting life with language. It's not only writing. I want you to wake up all the way, all the time when you're drinking a glass of water or chugging down a tecate.
Well, you know, you said sit, walk, and write. Sounds like the holy trinity of the creative process. Can you talk about the importance of sitting and then walking, which is one of my favorite subjects?
Yeah. Well, with sitting, obviously I mean meditation, but sitting is watching your mind, just not moving, and watching your feeling your breath go in and out. That's how you anchor yourself. And you just watch your mind. And you keep coming back to your breath. And one of the things you learn that I didn't know till I tried to sit still is my mind wanders all the time. So in sitting still, you get a relationship with your mind. And really, what is the most important tool of a writer? The human mind. So the more you have a relationship with it, the better you can use it as a tool. So that's number one. And number two, really, and the other thing that we do all the time is walking, the rhythm of walking, the movement of our body. And it's connected to our mind and our heart and our breath and the words that come out. It's all really interconnected. You know, they're not separate. And I think one of the things in our society, we've separated it so you can write something great and not take in that knowledge yourself. So we know so many people, we've read books that have made us so happy, and the author either is an alcoholic or commits suicide. So this is where the training comes in, so that you get the writer themselves not only gets to write, but gets to also digest their own awake mind, so it can feed their life and not just the reader's life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sense. You know, your philosophy of writing is so much like a religion.
Yeah.
Like Zen, in fact.
Yes, it is Zen.
Yes.
It's really Zen, but Zen is for everyone. It doesn't matter what religion you are. You know, I was brought up Jewish. You can still do Zen. It's like doing yoga. Mm-hmm. You can be, you know, you'd be a more flexible Catholic.
Right.
You know, physically flexible Catholic. So this is a practice really before religion.
Right. It's spiritual. And I think that even the creative process itself, whether you're writing poetry or fiction or music, oftentimes leads you to the same type of mystical experiences of, say, Saint Teresa de Avila or other mystics. You kind of, I won't say see beyond the veil, but a little bit. You get glimpses into, you know, into something that, that exists not necessarily in time-space.
Exactly, because mostly we live in discursive thinking, which is a very thin layer at the top of the water. And when you write, you dive under to how you really see, think, and feel, and how the mind really works, and an intimacy with all life. And that's really spiritual. And I think a lot of people, when they read Writing Down the Bones, came to me, not because they wanted to be Faulkner or Hemingway, but because they wanted to connect with themselves and had a religious, spiritual longing, but they weren't interested in institutional religion.
That makes sense. You know, you say something that seems paradoxical to me, and maybe it is a paradox, about getting out of the way.
Yes.
To get out of the way to discover your own obsessions.
Yes.
That seems really paradoxical to me. So can you talk about that?
Well, in a way, we're run by our obsessions, but when you write about them, you can see what, and you reread it later, you can see what they are. And in a way, if you get out of the way and let writing do writing, you even express them more clearly. So they really glow off the page. And then you get to see them. And then you get to use that energy for writing. And in a way, you turn those obsessions, which sometimes can reduce your life, into a passion, which opens up your life.
So in other words, you're saying that if we get out of the way, that's the only way to gain control and insight into our own work.
Yeah, but we never gain control. But we get to see it. We get to see who we are, and it's sort of almost mind reflecting mind.
And if we're lucky enough, we could submit to it as opposed to control it.
Yeah, and just let go.
We're talking to Natalie Goldberg, whose latest book is called The True Secret of Writing, and what writer wouldn't want to know that secret? And you were talking a couple of times just now about letting the mind wander, and I'm wondering, or the mind going here and the mind going there, and it sounds a little bit like your concept of the wild mind, of reaching the wild mind. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, you know, wild mind, people think it means the mind is acting out and running all over the place and going crazy. But really what wild mind is, it's sort of the difference between, you know how we plant beautiful little gardens with peonies and stuff in the summer, and yet long to be out in nature where there's no, it's seemingly no order, and yet we feel relief and can actually deeply relax. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true with the mind, too. We try to order it and control everything and live in that discursive thinking. I have to pay my bill. I don't like this. I've got to pick up some mayonnaise. I have to do this. So-and-so doesn't like me, blah, blah, blah. And that's discursive thinking. And then when you drop down underneath, it's wild mind. Wild mind is connected with everything.
Mm. It sounds a little bit like Clarissa Pinkola Estes's idea of the Rio Bajo el Rio in her book, The Wild Woman Archetype, to reach that.
Yes, I think that's true. Yes, I know Clarissa. I love her, and I think she's on to something.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just a different way of articulating, arriving at the wild mind or the Rio Bajo el Rio.
Does discursive thinking have anything at all to do with writing? Anything?
Oh, yes. Discursive thinking you need to know, have a relationship with. We do have a relationship, but unfortunately we follow it and listen to it as though it were God. And part of discursive thinking is this little mechanism in our brain that I call monkey mind, but you might call the critic.
Monkey mind, that's great.
That is constantly commenting, oh, I think I'm going to write. No, you can't write. Who do you think you are?
Right.
You're not good enough to write. You can't say those things. That isn't nice. So you have to have a relationship with that part of yourself so you don't let it run your life. And unfortunately, I meet lots of people, it runs their life. They have a deep desire to write, but they can't do it because monkey mind is so loud.
Mm. This reminds me of a passage in your book. You're talking about a woman who's having a hard time. Her husband might be cheating on her. Her daughter might be smoking pot. And she's just really not handling it very well. But then one day you see her, and she has this piece about her. And you say, what happened? And she says, well, I'm writing. And writing feels too good to let other things get in the way.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of orders your life, you know. Okay, so the whole world is collapsing, but you just wrote a beautiful sentence, and it feels good. The reason I kept writing was in, 1972 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I sat down and wrote a real poem, you know, where I really trusted my mind and didn't worry if it made sense or not. And I never felt so good and whole before. I tasted something completely outside my usual experience, and I just followed it.
It's really difficult sometimes to write. And for me, it seems like breathing, because I write all the time. I feel as if when I'm not writing, my world is falling apart. Not the world, but my world.
Yes.
And because that's the way I ordered my world, and I have this exercise I give to myself and I give to other people to write a sentence a day. And it reminds me of you saying, get out of the way, because you write a sentence a day, have a folder. And then when you read all of those sentences and dates in a row, you realize how revealing it is about you.
Yeah, and do you ask them to rework the sentence, or it just has to go down?
No, right. Just write the sentence for
exactly.
The day.
Exactly. That's great. That's what's called a practice. And that's what I talk about in The True Secret of Writing, about having a practice, not good or bad, just show up and do it.
You also talk about this concept, no place is heaven, every place is heaven. And this really strikes me, because I hear a lot of writers kind of say they use an excuse sometimes of not being able to write because of where they're at. There's nothing exciting about it. And that's just not true. I mean, any place can be heaven, any place can be hell. And I think of me, I travel a lot, you know, and I write. I don't write about the travels necessarily, but I write while I'm traveling. And Ben doesn't, he stays home and he writes. And he writes brilliant books. Like I said, one just won the Penn Faulkner Award. And I travel, and maybe my writing isn't as brilliant, but it doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't. What matters is that you stay connected to it and you continue that relationship, because that's what you want to do, even when it's really hard. And that's another secret of writing, which I think I don't mention. It's hard.
Well, there is the thing of discipline and desire.
Yeah. How do you actualize your desire? You have to practice. You have to show up regularly. And suddenly the desire, you don't want it. You know, I don't think I want this anymore. Well, you have to shut up. You said you wanted it. Follow through.
And you say to people who have full-time jobs and use that as an excuse not to write, you say use your weariness after work to write. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, because you're already broken down. So the editor doesn't have as much energy to tell you they hate you. So you just kind of sit down, collapse, and just let it flow.
And you advise to just take whatever time that you have, you know, make time. And it makes me think of Frank O'Hara's lunchtime poems. I mean, here he worked full-time, but he'd be walking the streets of New York City at lunchtime and writing down poems.
Yes, and William Carlos Williams, who was a children's doctor, and between patients, he'd write a little poem on the prescription pad.
And Faulkner writing in, where did he work?
The post office.
Yeah. I mean, you can just fit it in. I knew, what's his name, who wrote Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
He wrote at 3 in the morning. He had a full-time job. He'd come home and go to sleep and wake up at 3 in the morning and write.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, I always tell my students, writers write.
Yeah.
They don't complain about not having time to write. They write.
Yes, it's a wonderful way of putting it.
You also say that it's important for a writer to be kind to themselves. We're talking to Natalie Goldberg, whose most recent book is The True Secret of Writing. You say that a writer needs to be kind to themselves. What do you mean by this?
Did I say that?
Yeah. On page 23.
Yes, definitely, though. Of course, you get a lot more work done if you're kind to yourself rather than beating yourself up. It's the same as getting a relationship with the critic so it doesn't run your life and put you down all the time.
I need to take your class, Natalie.
Oh, I'd love you to take my class.
And so are you still doing the retreats, the True Seekers retreats in Taos?
Yes, I am.
And if people are interested in that, how would they...
They go to my website, nataliegoldberg.com.
And how often are these workshops?
Well, mostly I do them pretty often, but this year I've taken off most of the year and I'm just doing two. Oh. But otherwise, maybe there'll be five or six a year.
And how did you wind up in New Mexico?
Oh, well, actually, originally, I came in 1970 to study to get at St. John's, you know, the great book school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you know, to study Immanuel Kant and, you know, all those people, Darwin we studied and Euclid. And I fell in love with New Mexico, and I never really left. I've been here since 1970.
And
I'm a Southwest girl with a heavy New York accent.
And do you miss New York?
Not at all. Not at all. It never was my deep home.
Mm.
But it's deep home in that, you know, wherever you're brought up enchants you. Only many years later you look back at it, and you realize it's good material to write about. Like, it's so dry here right now. Just this morning I was thinking about how the sprinklers used to run on our lawn on Long Island and how much I loved that.
Mm.
Even though I didn't have a good childhood, there were moments in it that were enchanting because I was young. There's nothing like it.
And did you run to the sprinklers?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
I used to love doing that. I agree that no place is heaven and every place is heaven. But on the other hand, I also think that there are some places that have a particular energy that somehow seems to invite creativity or connection with, you know, something beyond themselves. And it seems like where you are in New Mexico and Santa Fe and that area, there's something about that place that has a, I don't know, some sort of energy that encourages artistic creation.
I think that's true. And I think it can also be used as an excuse if you live in Kansas City, not Wright, or Cleveland.
Right.
And I think, and see, I hear someone lives in Cleveland, and I'd love someone to take me up and down the streets, because it's about detail. Just as long as you have a relationship with the detail around you, you can write. And actually, I found it hard to write in Taos, where I lived for a long time, and it was easier in Santa Fe.
Wow.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah, I spent last summer in Paris, and I had this really beautiful apartment, and it was so inspiring. I went to cafes, but you know, I didn't write the entire time.
Exactly. You were just too excited to settle down.
Oh, but boy, did I walk. I walked a lot.
Yeah, it's fabulous there.
I really love your idea of sitting, because it has something to do and everything to do with being alone, and I think that's the issue with a lot of people. They really have never learned how to be alone. And if you can't be alone, you can't write.
Yeah,
I think that is really true. And it's why I've set up these silent retreats, because you get the support of everyone, but you're with your own mind, and you get to taste that kind of being alone.
And being alone, you actually connect to something larger, and you're less alone than when you're around a bunch of people.
Yes, that's often true.
It reminds me of this Kafka's diaries. He says that, you know, you don't have to leave your kitchen. You could just sit there at the table, and the universe will reveal itself to you.
Yes, it's true.
And are you able to experience your own retreats?
Yeah, I kind of do. Some I don't experience it the way the students experience it. But, oh, they're really deep and wonderful for me. And it's really why I do them, because I can no longer do just straight Zen retreats. They're too rigid for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes writing and sitting and walking, all the things I love. And there's space for daydreaming and to take a nap. And there's something spacious about it. It's kind of a writer's view of Zen.
And then at the end of the retreat, to the retreatants, if you will, share their writing with each other?
They write. They actually share it in the middle of the retreat.
Oh, nice.
Sit, walk, write, and then we read aloud with no comment, anyone who wants to read. Mm. And there's actually an hour where people go and they just read with no comment anything they've written during the week, and people can listen to it.
We've been talking to Natalie Goldberg, author of Writing Down the Bones and her latest book, The True Secret of Writing. Thank you so much for being on Words on a Wire, Natalie.
Oh, this was so much fun. I love the both of you.